Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
You know her as a host on 1010XL in Jacksonville. She is a sports anchor and reporter for First Coast News. You can find her on Twitter at Mia O'Brien TV. She is the great Mia O'Brien, and she joins us now. Mia, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, boys. What an introduction that was. I hope they know who I am. I've only been to Charlotte once, but hey, we'll roll with that. How's it going?
There's a legend. I don't know if you're that Mia O'Brien, but there's a legend of a Mia O'Brien in Carolina. I got to ask you, though. So we've got people up in arms because last night at the Hornets game, there was a group of fans chanting both, and I should add both chants, fire Matt Rhule and then bleep Matt Rhule. It was a different F word that they were using in place of fire. Where do you stand on that, on the idea of fans chanting that at a non-Panther related function?
I would say, have you heard of the Chicago sports market? They've been chanting fire Matt Nagy for, I think, about 9 weeks now at Bulls games, at Blackhawks games, everywhere else in the Chicago metroland area. There's people showing up at his kids' high school Pop Warner game, and they're chanting it there. So, unfortunately, the precedent has been set. And so, as we're kind of talking here in Jacksonville about the clown movement, which I'm sure we're going to get into, the clown movement has now spread to the Giants and the New York fan base. Obviously the New York metropolitan sports scene is way different than Jacksonville, so I'm not sure that those two are going to be similar, just like I think Charlotte and Chicago are a little bit different. But at the same time, once the toothpaste is out of the tube, you can't put it back in. And so because it's been tolerated and allowed to perpetuate in one city, it's going to happen in others as copycat fashion.
Mia, there's no greater enjoyment that I have in my job than hearing a professional such as yourself having to utter the phrase clown movement as it relates to a fan base. So there's a fair amount of people here who might not know what's going on in Jacksonville. I've kind of set the scene with Urban getting fired and Trent Baalke running the coaching search, and obviously there's Trevor Lawrence in the midst of this. Can you just bring us up to date with the clown movement and the clown out?
Oh, yes. Let's discuss the clowns. They're personally been one of the bright spots for, I think, a lot of people, as COVID is ravaging our world, and you go on the internet and all you can see is bad news, and then you see the clowns. So the clowns began in earnest about, a week or so ago when the NFL Network released a report. I believe it was Monday, December 27th, because I was still back home in New Jersey. And so that night, Ian Rappaport released a report that the Jaguars planned on retaining GM Trent Baalke. And as opposed to just firing off, fire Baalke, this, that, and the other, a couple Jaguar fans who are on the, if there was an executive board, they would be the executive board of the largest Jaguar fan group called Bold City Brigade, they decided that they were going to change their profile picture to the clown emoji, just as a joke, and, like kind of ha-ha, funny. Then they said, hey, everyone else, make it, change your profile picture, your avatar, whatever you want to call it on Twitter, to the clown emoji. And then some of the folks that are fans of the Jaguars that also happen to be passionate about graphic design remodeled the clown emoji to have the mustache handlebars that are the same mustache handlebars that are sported by Jaguars owner Shad Khan. And it has spread like wildfire. I can't go on Twitter without scrolling through my mentions and just seeing clowns everywhere. They've got a million memes out there with the clowns. And what's been crazy is now they are literally attacking Jaguars posts, not in a negative, attacking, malicious way. But every single time the Jaguars either live stream a press conference or post a nice graphic, the clowns, they come out, they reply with the clown emoji. They reply with clown gif. They reply with hashtag fire Baalke. And so now it has reached a point where they are planning on showing up to the season finale, final Jaguars home game this Sunday, dressed as clowns, people have bought inflatable clowns. Last check, I know my friends over at 1010, my coworkers, did a search. The lunch hour show did a search. I believe there was only like two red nose clown mustaches, whatever they're called, left on Amazon as of yesterday at 12:08. So the plan is that they're all going to dress like clowns. They're all going to go to the game on Sunday. And the real contentious part of the argument has been, is this disrespectful towards Jaguars owner Shad Khan, who has obviously done so much for the city of Jacksonville, albeit not having the wins to show for it. He has invested over $500 million in this franchise. He has been the owner for a decade plus. He has pledged to keep it in Jacksonville. And the fans you talk to, and they'll tweet about it. I've seen several of those tweets as well. This is not intended to be malicious towards Shad Khan, or, you know, I've seen some people even suggest it being racist. It's not supposed to be that. What it's supposed to do is to draw attention to this fan base is done with half-measured steps. They want clean, sweeping change. They want to not have remnants from the previous regime, because every single Shad Khan hire has left some sort of remnants from the previous regime. There has never been a complete clean sweep. And so, in their opinion, that's a clown move. And they want to draw attention to Shad, that the fan base, the people that are his customers, since obviously Shad Khan made his living by selling bumpers. Flexengate is his claim to fame, his million-billion-dollar company. He cares about the customer. Well, the customers here in Jacksonville aren't too happy.
The clowns began in earnest. Sounds like the beginning to a John Steinbeck novel. I can't award you a Marconi. I don't have those powers, but here is a here's a Marconi. I've just given you a Marconi. Mia O'Brien, host on 1010 XL in Jacksonville, sports anchor and reporter for First Coast News, and again on Twitter, at Mia O'Brien TV, joining us on the Technicon hotline here, talking about the clown out. And I cannot get over this. This is one of the funniest things in the world. You mentioned the clown getup, and how fans are going to show up at this the season finale in clown regalia. Are we talking just a little face paint, red nose, and a goofy wig? Are we talking they're going to get the shoes, they're going to get the suit, they're going to get maybe even a clown car? How committed to the clown regalia are Jacksonville fans?
Let me pull up. Unfortunately, this is really bad radio, but I know one of the Jaguar fans had started a Twitter thread of, everyone, please at me with what you plan on wearing and bringing to the show. Oh, here we go. Speak of the devil. It looks like he himself just received a shipment. I would say it's about two dozen red noses, so I'm assuming those will be passed out. So that's fun. I have seen some people say that they have the wigs, the colorful wigs, and they plan on wearing those. So that's also fun. I think it's going to be a wide-ranging, you know, how do you define clown? The crazy part for me, too, is that there also are fans that have bought these inflatable clowns. And since this is not expected to be a sellout, they are literally planning on just finding empty seats and sticking these inflatable clowns, well, rather, bringing them into the stadium uninflated, inflating them at their seats, and then placing them in seats throughout the stadium. So even if you only have, say, 1,000 people dressed up as clowns, if you have another 500 inflatable clowns, it's going to be a little hard to avoid. Here we go. Somebody got the mask and the hair. Okay. So, you know what? There's going to be a lot of different looking clowns. Somebody's literally got a giant inflatable costume. Okay, that's fun. There's somebody with shoes. So, yeah, so we're going to have a lot of different looking clowns. I personally actually just got my mandatory negative COVID test as a media member so I can attend practice during the week. So I'm pumped because I said to my mom, because I am fighting a head cold right now, I was like, I got to be negative. I got to go to the clown show. Like, the circus has come to town. Not that it hasn't been here all along. So
I honestly cannot wait for the 30 for 30 on the clown out in Jacksonville. It'll probably be the second half of the Urban Meyer, the 30 for 30 for Urban Meyer in Jacksonville, but I will watch every freaking second of it. I did want to ask you a question. I am obsessed with the idea of Trevor Lawrence as a generational prospect. And the way his career started in Jacksonville reminds me of another local relatively regionally local prospect Zion Williamson, a transcendent prospect in the NBA. How much of Trevor's struggles this year are about the dysfunction and roster issues, and how much concern is there that this could just be, you know, that Trevor could be trending towards bust territory?
I do not believe he is a bust. If he busts, it's because of the system around him, just because this kid has, as he told us yesterday in his press conference, I don't think most people have gone through in their rookie season everything he has gone through, both on and off the field. And by on and off the field, I obviously mean the Urban Meyer only working 9 to 5, not being there, but then yelling at people, whatever that whole thing was. And Trevor literally having to be the one, by many accounts, to throw the final, you know, hatchet in there, because he was the one that met with Shad Khan the day before Urban Meyer was fired. And so he was kind of the one, and by many reports, who signed off and said, yep, go for it. So that's number one. I mean, what 22-year-old kid is having to meet with the owner to say, yeah, you got to get this guy out of here? Like, I don't care if you're a football team, if you are a construction company, if you're a Fortune 500 company, like, that doesn't happen anywhere. So that's number one. Number two, it's crazy to think that Daryl Bevel has won a Super Bowl. Brian Schottenheimer has been pretty successful everywhere he's been, and yet both of them have largely failed this kid. And by some accounts, it's on their part because of the scheme. I go back to week one when we asked if Trevor would be more of the mobile quarterback that he was asked to be at times at Clemson. And Daryl Bevel, the offensive coordinator, literally said, no, this isn't Clemson anymore. He's going to drop back in the pocket. Okay, that's fine if he had an NFL-caliber offensive line, which he has a middle-of-the-road offensive line. And so he needs to be able to do the rollouts, the bootlegs, having the ability to scramble and use his legs. Like, he needs to do that because, A, that's what made him the generational prospect we all know him to be, and, B, made him the number one pick in the NFL draft. So you can't just say, no, now he's here, now he has to be something else. So that is on them. At the same time, I will raise my hand and I will be guilty as charged. I thought that this Jaguars wide receiving core was a lot better than what it proved to be. Marvin Jones had no less than, I believe, 9 touchdown catches 3 of the last 4 seasons in Detroit. I thought he would be a security blanket instantly for Trevor Lawrence. Instead, he drops at least a pass a game, and 9 times out of 10, it's a crucial potential touchdown pass. Moreover, Travis Etienne's injuries and DJ Chark's injuries that were both season-ending proved to be a lot more difficult than anyone could have imagined. And then, of course, you have the James Robinson complex, which is not James's fault. If anything, Trevor was the one that stepped in and said to the coaches, he's our best player, why aren't you playing him? Those are decisions that are beyond this 22-year-old kid's control. And so you cannot blame him for that. I do think in terms of his progressions, that might be the one area he really needs to grow, and you saw that in the loss to New England this weekend, especially on 2 out of the 3, even perhaps all 3 interceptions that he threw. But I think he's trying to force it, and he's trying to do too much because he is the only one with, you know, consistent talent out there on the field right now. And so I do not think you should write off Trevor Lawrence yet. He has proven to be too strong-willed, both on and off the field, for him to crumble under the pressure of the worst rookie season anyone could have imagined. And so I think he's going to take 2-3 weeks off, go to an island. We won't hear from him. Good, go do that. And talking to a lot of quarterback experts, you know, the real thing that Trevor's going to have to do is that he's trained with so many different people. He has his trainers at Clemson. He has his trainer here. He trained with Jesse Palmer. He needs to pick his guy. He needs to hone in on the few things he needs to mechanically go back and fix, whether that's the reads, whether that's throwing to his left, what have you. Once he does those things, and hopefully with a little bit more stability on the front office and coaching side of things, he can step back in fresh, ready to lead this franchise. Because, I mean, once year 2 starts, he is 100%. I mean, he already had to do it in year 1. But now, this is his team. And as we're talking about, do the Jaguars need an EVP? Do they need, you know, someone to create the culture? You have the guy. It's got to be this kid because he's already here. He wants to do it. Let him, I mean, quite honestly, let him pick the coaching staff. Let him pick, you know, whoever else you need. But he needs to be what everything's about.